Good evening. It is 5 p.m. and you're tuned in to CFRC 101.9 FM broadcasting from Lower Carruthers Hall on Queen's Campus in Kingston, Ontario. I'm CFRC's broadcast journalist, Christina Laurie, and this is Kingston Currents, your weekly roundup of the latest Limestone local news. CFRC's news programming is brought to you by the generous support of the Community Radio Fund of Canada under the Local Journalism Initiative, Queen's University Career Services, and for our podcast, Smith Engineering at Queen's University. Our feature stories in today's episode, Inclusive Play Project and local Tim Hortons restaurant owners aimed across the funding finish line for the Jumpstart Inclusive Playground with this year's Smile Cookie campaign. And some highlights from City Council's last meeting, including a new pilot air conditioner program to support vulnerable residents ahead of extreme summer heat, Council's reaction to the new provincial BYOB permit option, and new measures to improve oversight of city partner organizations in response to the Taxi Commission fallout. Let's dive in. At their last meeting, Council considered Kingston's approach to the new provincial Bring Your Own Alcohol Permit option. Starting April 30th, Ontario is expanding BYOB permits to designated outdoor public events like farmers markets, festivals, and art exhibits. According to the release from the province, the aim of the initiative is to cut costs for both event-goers and organizers. However, it is up to municipalities to opt in by passing a bylaw authorizing the use of alcohol in public and establishing a local process to determine whether an event qualifies. Staff brought a report to Council recommending the city further explore potential implementation approaches and public consultation before later returning to Council with recommendations to consider participation in the provincial BYOB framework. Councillors were overall unimpressed with the move by the province, but had slightly differing opinions on how to respond. Councillors like Don Amos argued the idea should be rejected outright, raising concerns about enforcement, liability, communications, and even litter.
I'm going to start off by saying I'm not in favor of this. I don't think we need to go down this road. I don't think we need to have our staff utilize their time in a deep dive endeavor that the province feels that everyone can drink whenever they want, however they want, in an event. And I think that sets various events up for failure, concerns. We already have a licensed beverage system that works in this city. The province is giving us an opt-out. I would strongly encourage my fellow councillors to vote no on this. We don't need to entertain this. We don't need to have someone show up with a keg to a random event or a cooler full of beer to a random event, set up their lawn chairs, enjoy the event, and then all of a sudden everything breaks loose and we don't have control mechanisms in place. And as indicated, our bylaw team is already stretched thin. Our police force, as we've heard multiple times from our police chief, is stretched thin. So now we're leaving it to the event organizers to manage this, and that's not a realistic expectation, I think, that can be met.
Beyond the logistics, councillors also more broadly questioned the province's priorities.
I appreciate my colleagues' measured remarks because mine are not going to be measured. I was looking at the budget and looking for any type of resources for housing and homelessness or anything related to the environment and climate change, and I saw that the province was letting us have people bring their own beer to a park. Wow. This is what the province is handing us for additional municipal tools for the problems that we're having in our city. Who's asking for this? I actually think Councillor Amos said it very well. We're going to devote our time and resources on this, on an issue that isn't a problem, and they're offering us a solution. What's with this province and alcohol, Your Worship? I have no idea that the solution for everything is, oh, we have an infrastructure problem? Go down to your corner store and grab a six-pack of beer. We have a housing and homelessness issue? How about bring beer to a park? Like, what is this? Why are we exploring this? My vote on this is going to be no, just because I'm so infuriated that this was a mispriority of this government. I think it's just out of gas, Your Worship.
City staff noted that part of the strategy for bringing the report to council was to raise awareness about the changes and what they could mean locally. Councillor Connie Glenn echoed this, emphasizing the importance of getting all the information and providing clarity to the public.
Anecdotally, and certainly through comments that have been made, we have a pretty good idea. But the reality is every time something comes forward from the province, we get a community that's divided about their thoughts on it. So going back to, I think, one of the core things that we've done around this horseshoe over the last few years is we make sure that we've got all the information. I have no issues getting information. Yes, I would prefer that they spend more time at the provincial level concentrating on housing and homelessness. And, you know, I was hopeful the premier would just donate his plane because we sure could use one here. but seeing as that's not reality, I would like us to stay grounded in getting good information and evidence. I'm not supportive of, obviously, overtaxing any of our staff. I'm also not in support of seeing debauchery on the streets. But at the same time, I want to give unequivocal answers to the public on what this really means to our city.
Mayor Brian Patterson capped off the conversation, acknowledging the dilemma, but also noting that council can revisit the issue in the future if needed.
I think at the crux, the heart of this is, on the one hand, wanting to get information in order to make an evidence-based decision one way or the other. On the other hand, I'm also sympathetic to the argument of why waste staff's time if we are absolutely already convinced this is not a road that we want to go down. So I think that's the question that I think we're confronted with. I think that Councillor Osanek actually raises a good point, that there's always an opportunity to bring something forward again if we find that there's an opportunity or a proponent that really wants to push for this. But I tend to agree that we've got a lot going on as a city. Our staff time is valuable. And I think our staff are hearing the debate around the table right now. There's no way that this would pass. So I think given that, my preference would be just to give staff a clear no at this point, and let's have them work on other projects that are more important for the city.
In the end, the motion was unanimously voted down, meaning the city will not move forward with further investigation and will not participate in the program at this time. At their last meeting, council passed a motion aimed at improving oversight and accountability for organizations that deliver services on the city's behalf. The motion brought forward by Councillor Brandon Tozzo comes largely in response to the governance, operational, financial, and compliance issues that ultimately led to the decision to dissolve the Kingston Area Taxi Commission this September. Earlier this month, Council approved up to $400,000 from the city's reserve funds to cover the commission's outstanding expenses.
If an organization is receiving public money, it must be accountable to the public, and Council must know that the rules are being followed. I believe we all have a recent example of this not being the case. This motion is intended to put safeguards in place so this never happens again.
Through service level agreements, the city works with partner organizations to deliver a wide range of services, including housing and homelessness support, childcare, tourism, arts and culture, economic development, and transportation. However, the current process for managing and reporting these agreements is not fully streamlined.
But with investment comes responsibility. Right now, reporting under these agreements varies significantly. In many cases, these reports go to staff, and managers and directors have discretion on them. Open reporting is less consistent and less visible to council and to the public. Some go to staff, others go to council. Our staff do great work, but I believe with public money should come public transparency. That inconsistency is the issue this motion seeks to address.
The motion calls for new safeguards to improve transparency and ensure council has clear oversight of partner operations.
What I am proposing is not burdensome or controversial. It's about creating clear, consistent standards. That annual reports and audited financial statements provided to the city are also shared with council through our agendas. That when required reporting is not provided, council be made aware. And as we enter a new term of council, that members be offered, though not mandatory, offered a full and transparent overview of all agreements and partner organizations, including how they are monitored and enforced. Right now, onboarding is up to our partner organization, and let's face it, it's pretty well hit and miss, and there's no clear and consistent standards and reviews of mandates. Our residents expect and deserve to know where their tax dollars are being used, and they expect us as council to exercise proper oversight, and they expect that organizations receiving public funds are operating with strong governance and accountability.
Councillors supported the move unanimously, pointing to recent events as a clear example of what can happen when oversight falls short.
Transparency, accountability are very important, and I just want to say part of the reason, one of the many reasons I found that this motion was such a good idea, is because we are currently experiencing what happens when transparency and accountability have not occurred. So yes, I'm happy to support the motion.
Council has approved $17,000 from the Environmental Reserve Fund to launch a residential air conditioner pilot program aimed at supporting vulnerable residents through the summer heat. The initiative stems from a motion brought forward in March directing staff to explore options for a program targeting those most at risk, particularly low-income seniors with medical conditions, as extreme heat events are expected to start in June this year. Staff returned with a proposed plan at Council's last meeting. Drawing on similar programs in Toronto, Hamilton, and Peterborough, staff recommended a one-time investment to bulk purchase air conditioning units, with approximately 35 units expected to be distributed. The program will be administered through the city's Municipal Fee Assistance Program, with eligibility limited to Kingston residents age 65 and older living on low incomes in multi-unit housing, and who have been advised by a medical professional to use air conditioning for health reasons. Councillor Connie Glenn, who originally brought forward the motion to look into the program in March, kicked off discussion on the recommendation.
As we've heard, I think time and time again in this chamber, we're seeing the impacts of extreme heat. Hopefully, we are not going to, as Ms. Kaner mentioned, experience that this summer. However, I'm not particularly hopeful. So I'm hoping that everyone will support this. This is a modest amount of money to help out some of the most vulnerable people, and it's a pilot. It gives us an opportunity to see what kind of positive impact we can have on this situation. So right now we're looking at individuals over 65 with self-declared medical conditions to give them a little bit of relief. So I'm not going to belabor the point. I think it's fairly straightforward. I think it's a compassionate consideration for us. And hopefully we will get a bit of warmth soon. It's a little cold out there. So with that, I hope everyone will support option two. I think it's reasonable. And I think it adds benefit and help for some of the people that are going to struggle the most this summer in the heat.
Some councillors raised concerns about liability and increased utility costs, but there was broad agreement that a pilot program is worth pursuing.
If we don't have a pilot, we don't know the information, and more information is almost always better.
Council approved the program in a 12-1 vote, with Councillor Gary Osteroff opposed due to concerns about liability.
What is the liability that we are carrying? I know it's not a lot of money, but as air conditioners cool a room down, the wires get hot. And most people don't have a clue that many, many houses can't handle an air conditioner, or they put them in by windows. And there is an electrical hazard created. Someone's going to be responsible. So I remain uncomfortable because it's not certain.
Staff acknowledge that demand will likely exceed supply and say the program is designed to prioritize those at highest risk. Installation support will be provided by United Way volunteers. City staff will report back in 2027 with an evaluation of the program's outcomes. Beyond this pilot, the city is still working through its broader extreme heat strategy, with an interim plan for summer 2026 expected to come to council in June. Before we get into more local news this evening, let's take a look at your weather and traffic report for the rest of the week with CFRC's Jesse Bell.
This is your Environment Canada weather report for the Kingston region. Final day of April, Thursday, April 30th. 12 degrees is your high, but we're going to have a lot of sunshine, so it's going to feel closer to a very temperate 15 degrees, dropping down to 5 overnight, and we've got a chilly start to the month of May. Friday, May 1st, daytime high of 11 degrees, going to feel slightly warmer thanks to the sunshine, right around 14, but there is about a 50% chance of rain in the afternoon. Saturday, May 2nd, that rain's going to cool things off. We've got a high of just 9 degrees with an overnight low of 4. Sunday, May 3rd, another 9 degree day, partly sunny conditions, dropping down to 3 overnight. And then starting off next week, Monday, May 4th, 11 degrees is your temperature, but we've got a 75% chance of precipitation, which is going to cut that in half, feeling closer to 6 degrees. So a bit of a rainy start to next week, all things considered. This is your City of Kingston traffic report for the week. We begin with some partial road closures slash construction that'll have minimal traffic impact. Stephen Street from Cowdy to Montreal Street, expect delays for the installation of intersection pedestrian signals, or IPS. The city is installing these IPS units to make it easier and safer for pedestrians to cross busy roads. IPS units are being installed at the following intersections: Bath Road at Lafleur Park, Concession Street at Kings Court Avenue, and Stephen Street at Patrick Street. For more information, you can visit the City of Kingston website. On the note of partial road closures, bear in mind that King Street West at Country Club Drive to Front Road and Sand Bay Lane is single lane traffic only for the installation of water main and sewer pipes for Utilities Kingston. This has been an ongoing long-term closure, and as we start to ease into the summer, it looks like this closure will be in place indefinitely. In terms of long-term road closures, we're going to see a long-term closure, Princess Street from Frontenac Street to Division. It started on April 20th. The City of Kingston and Utilities Kingston will begin reconstruction of Princess Street. This major infrastructure project includes upgrades to underground and above-ground utilities, as well as improvements to enhance safety and comfort for pedestrians and cyclists. So that's a big, long-term road closure impacting Princess Street from Frontenac to Division. Ferry to Queen is still closed due to construction-related activity at 283 Queen Street. Aberdeen Street from Johnson to William is still closed to accommodate construction activity and staging in the area. And just a reminder that the load restrictions are still in effect for heavy-duty trucks, which are restricted on city roads where posted. These restrictions will expire as of May 1st. But if you are someone hauling a heavy load, please keep an eye on the relevant signage. That's a wrap for your City of Kingston traffic report for this week. Please remember to pay attention to the posted signs and drive safely.
Thank you, Jesse. Now back to more local news. This year's Kingston Tim Hortons Smile Cookie Campaign, running April 27th to May 3rd, is supporting the Jumpstart Inclusive Playground at a critical moment as the project nears the finish line. Now in its 30th year, the Smile Cookie Campaign began in 1996 in support of the Hamilton Children's Hospital. Since then, the annual campaign has raised over $150 million through cookie sales for charities and community groups selected by restaurant owners. Here in Kingston, that support is going toward the Jumpstart Inclusive Playground, a community-driven initiative led by Inclusive Play Project volunteers. The group came together with the goal of building a playground tailored to a wide range of physical abilities and sensory needs right here in Kingston, where children of all abilities can play, connect, and belong. The project broke ground in Shannon Park earlier this month, and construction is expected to be complete later this summer. The $1.5 million project is now about 92% funded. The hope for Inclusive Play Project volunteers is that this Smile Cookie campaign can bring them past the finish line. I stopped by Tim Hortons on Princess Street to speak with owner Sherry Agnew ahead of the campaign launch.
Well, to start us off, I was wondering if you could speak to what makes the Smile Cookie campaign such a meaningful way to give back.
It's really just for us and our staff to try to, you know, raise some money that we know that will stay locally in Kingston.
And I was wondering if you could speak to the choice and the importance of supporting the Inclusive Play Project this year.
Well, we just really felt like there was a need in the community and to help this project. I know that they've done a lot of their fundraising already, and we are hopefully going to get them to the finish line.
Yeah, you mentioned they're almost at the finish line. How impactful could this campaign be in getting them there?
We really hope that we can close the gap in their funding with this week full of sales of cookies. So, and they hope to have it open in September.
And how does the community usually show up for this campaign? What do you normally expect and what are you hoping for this year?
Kingston is just amazing, actually. We break records in Eastern Ontario, and per capita, we actually sell more cookies in Kingston, Smile Cookies, than Ottawa. So Kingston gives back in an amazing way, and the Smile Cookies, I think everyone, you know, it's a wonderful product and a great way to give back when you know it's going to be locally used, the money, 100% of it.
And there's a few different ways folks can contribute other than just buying a cookie. What are some of the ways that folks can get involved?
We have, if you don't eat cookies or cannot eat cookies, we have plushies, little stuffed cookies that you can buy for $5. You can also just make a donation. There's volunteering. We have people volunteering to help us decorate cookies, which kind of helps because it's a very busy week and it's a lot of cookies.
And what does it mean for you personally to be able to support this project in our community?
We're just so happy as store owners to be able to give back to the community in which we do business. Kingston's been very good to us, so we want to give back into the community and bring projects to light that maybe don't get the exposure that they deserve.
And how's the energy been leading up to this? How are you and your staff feeling walking into the week?
Everyone's pretty excited because it's a new charity for us and it's something different. And who wouldn't want to help every child be able to go to a playground?
Once again, the Smile Cookie campaign runs from Monday, April 27th through Sunday, May 3rd, with 100% of proceeds supporting the Jumpstart Inclusive Playground. Kingstonians are already showing up, with volunteer cookie decorating shifts filled for the entire week. To learn more about the campaign and the Inclusive Play Project, visit inclusiveplayproject.com. For CFRC News, supported by the Local Journalism Initiative, this has been Christina Laurie. That is all things current in Kingston for this week. Thank you for listening to CFRC's local news programming brought to you by the generous support of the Community Radio Fund of Canada under the Local Journalism Initiative, Queen's University Career Services, and for our podcast, Smith Engineering at Queen's University. To revisit episodes and listen on the go, head to our podcast network at podcast.cfrc.ca. Be sure to stay tuned for more CFRC programming coming up next.
Thank you for listening to this podcast produced at CFRC 101.9 FM at Queen's University, situated on the traditional territory of the Anishinaabe and Haudenosaunee peoples, and brought to you by the generous support of the Faculty of Engineering and Applied Science.